праздником Рождества Христова.
Wish you Merry Christmas, dear brethren and sisters, today, on this wonderful, bright and joyous day, we are speaking about its significance. We speak to Professor Alexei Lichosipov, the professor of Moscow Theological Academy. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Today, on this significant day, do we meet? The day is light bringing and peace bringing. And how, when did you first hear about this day, and what was it associated with? So I don't remember when I first heard about this day, because I was subconscious, not conscious back then. That's why I cannot answer your question. The way you posed the question, I mean about its significance, what it means for every Christian, it is very important to speak about this on this wonderful Christmas day, especially in this environment. What a beautiful fireplace, fir tree, it's like Christmas, sure, so it's solid joy. If we try to say several words about theological significance of this day, it is important to underline the following thing. So usually Christmas is combined with the New Year, and I think that this is a very good combination, because really with Christmas a new era starts, a new era in mankind. It starts with not like other events started on this very day. Amazingly enough, the Christianity says God's embodiment happened. The word Logos, the God's Son. So we can imagine what is happening in castles, in houses, when someone great is born. What merrymaking, what joy, bells. Here, in this case, we cannot understand. There wasn't a place where this event happened. The shed with dirt, with cattle, where the creator of the world is born, the savior of the world is born. Do you know what I'd like to point out? That nothing incidental happens out of the Christian point of view, and the very fact of Christ's birth in poverty, misery, wretchedness, dirt, what does it speak about? It speaks about the condition of the whole universe and the condition of every man's soul, in which Christ is born. It's not by accident. So couldn't God create the condition, the perfect conditions for Jesus Christ to be born in a castle somewhere? No. The aim was to show where he came and what he came for. So the Gospel says that there was a star. Suddenly the star appeared, and people were going by the starlight to bow to whom? They must have known that there was the Savior of the world to be born. And now we still say that the star which shows the way to the man, the star of happiness. And in this case, what does it speak about? What does the star speak about? It doesn't only speak about the happiness. So that the happiness we have, so the star of salvation, it speaks about another thing as well, about an important thing, which I would like to attract your attention to, about every man. every man has got his own star, right? Which means that it's the providence of God over every man. What does it mean, the providence of God? It is not fate at all, which a man depends upon. Useless fate, merciless fate. So it is, you're absolutely right. There is no love. It's soulless fate. So it speaks about the will of God. So what is the will of every man? It is a good one, because God is love. The man who is looking for the sense of life, looking for the truth, looking, trying to know whether God exists or no, about the main idea of the existence of God. A searching man necessarily finds the way, finds his star, and the star will eventually lead him into the final target. So do you remember how Jesus Christ said, look and you will find, knock at the door and the door will be opened. So every man has got the opportunity to think about the sense of life, to look for the truth, to look objectively. By the way, the Christianity rejects any compulsion into the sense of life and its search. So Christianity gives the freedom for every man. There are wonderful words in Christmas Troparion. Those who worship the stars were taught by star. When we speak about stargazers, the Greek word latria is used. So this is the word which means a very specific service. In the Greek language there are different words which mean service. Diakonia, a man has brought tea, so this is the service as well. But there is the service to God, and the word latria means service to God, and the attitude of pagans to their idols were also described as latria. But later, at the end of the Seventh Ecumenical Council, they delineated the meanings of the words. Latria means service to God, and to icons we worship. So this is the delineation. People who perceived stars as something holy, they were taught by the star to worship the true God, Jesus Christ. This is the profound idea depicted in Christmas Troparion. So we have to pay attention to the moment which is connected to today's day, Christmas Day, which is important for every man. So on this very night, shepherds, as usual, were watching their flocks. So it was clear, the reason was clear, because, wolves, bandits could attack the flock. They were not sleeping. Suddenly, they saw this wonderful sign when angels appeared and sang glory to God and on earth peace. So one of the most interesting moments which we have to pay attention to, because they came after this, they came to Jesus Christ after that, being amazed by this sign. What does it speak about? So if the men were not sleeping, we sleep all the time. This mundane life, job, the things we face every day, they distract us from God. We are sleeping all the time. So I wish we were not sleeping all the time. I wish they were looking for the truth. I wish they were trying to live by testimonials. In this case, we would be able to come and worship God. There are wonderful words by Isaac Sirin, who writes, try to get inside your heart, and there you will see the heavenly tissue, because both your inside bodily and heavenly tissue is the same. This is the same. So that's where we can behold Jesus Christ. Try to enter yourself. By what? How can we do that? By the right life. So this is just the right, the correct life and nothing else. So we need to live correctly. How can we live rightly? So follow your consciousness. So, but sometimes we have a distorted consciousness, that's why it's difficult. So, why did Jesus Christ have to incarnate? So, was it possible to save a man? So, we call God Almighty. Why did he have to come to this earth to save a man? If God is Almighty, could he find another way to save a man from the sin? So here we have to explain several things. Why the fall? Why did the fall happen? If we say that God is the Savior, so, and was it possible by this almightiness to save a man? To save a man. Yeah, it was possible to save a man from fire, from water, but was it possible to save him from his freedom? This is the question. God gave a man freedom. And this is another facet of the question. So is it possible to save me from freedom? So I don't want God. So you poor guy, so take me and throw me into the heaven. So, and people think, why do I need the Savior? That is the root of the mistake. They don't understand that we are not talking about the material salvation, the social salvation, not the salvation from slavery. For many centuries, the mankind was resorting into the same mistakes, perceiving Jesus Christ as the savior of from slavery, from social issues, like every man was equal. So constantly was the mankind trying to make Jesus Christ salvation as mundane issue. So this is the mistakes what we understand the earthly aspect of man's existence. We forgot that a human being is created not for this life, but this life is given to a man just to teach a man to live. So now try to place me into the realm of God. I will do even worse than Adam and Eve. The revolution, I'll do revolution there. So we forgot the main issue. How can you save me from my own freedom? So if I am free, then I will decide myself. If I'm not free, then I'm not a man. I'm not a man. I'm an animal. The animal who's got intelligence but cannot operate with our own choice. So a human being is created a free personality. What does it mean? It means that we possess the choice of good and bad. That's why Jesus Christ came to not to save us from earthly problems. No. How is it possible to correct freedom? How is it possible to, for a man to choose good but not bad? So he never used his almightiness. So until he was crucified, killed, so the freedom of a human being, so this is the intrinsic reason why Jesus Christ came, embodied and lived his earthly life, and he was suffering, he died and he resurrected. So how can we make a human being to do that? How can induce a man to save himself? Only with love. We can induce a man to say, to change his life only with love. How can we correct, mend a human being? Jesus Christ showed us, only with love can we correct a human being. In the West, there is a tradition to create Christmas installations, vertaps in the churches. It's the Western traditions, so especially if they are big vertaps. Does it give anything for a human being? So here we see that a man is harvesting so little small scenes from a human life. There is only a part of this installation is taken by the events from the Gospel. So Jesus Christ comes to this world, but the world does not notice Jesus Christ. So as it was happening 2,000 years ago, and still people are living in this way, they do not notice the Savior. We often say that he's the Savior, but we live as if he had not come to our world, as if we were living at the times we call the new era, our era. So it turns out that the Savior is a mystery for a human being. That is the problem. What do you think should be done to open Jesus Christ? It is very important, so at least theoretically, to explain the moment you have just mentioned. So he came not to change the material, social, economic life of people, but the whole gist is in another thing. So, and he turned out to be the Savior from sin. So, but the thing we call the sin is torturings, is sufferings. What is the sin? The sin is not the breaking of the law God gave us. No, the sin is the scar I do to myself. By what? So you get angry with someone. Who is suffering? He or I? No, I do. So you envy. Who is suffering? You or I? I am suffering. So it turns out that the Christianity calls the sin not that I can insult God. So it's impossible to insult God. So God warns a man. Man, do not do this. You punish yourself with this. Do not walk on nails, because you'll have scars. That is the point. I remember a very interesting case from my life, because I like sharing my spiritual experience with you. It was very long ago. I was living the house with my mother. It was frosty, cold, and there was a metal knob. Do not touch. And my mother told me, do not touch this knob, because it's cold, it's frost. So as soon as she turned her back on me, so, and she heard the noise, because I touched the knob and I was yelling. So, and I remembered very well. That is the testimony. These are testimonials of God. It's not what He will do to me. And it means that I infringe on the laws of my life. So, God is unchangeable life. Whatever I do, whatever I do, love, God remains love, and God is ready to come to me, to come, to give me a helping hand, to mend the scar which I did to myself. God is a doctor. Just come to me, and I will help you. So this is the difference between us and Judaism. So this is just the law. It's not God. So this is the absolute law of existence. We cannot break it. And in this religion, there is no repentance. In Christianity, God always helps us to repent. This is the great boon for us. It turns out that I can repent of my sins. Who was the first to enter heaven? Bandit was the first to enter the heaven. If we speak about God's love, we speak about the right love. I like Isaac Sirin, his wonderful lines. God never does for the sake of revenge, but everything He does only looking at the good which can be brought to a man, only for a man's good, man's boon, not for revenge. This is the Christian understanding of God. So this is the inside joy which fills the soul of a man with hope. There is a fate, when there is impersonal destiny, what love can we have? But here, the embodied God comes to save a human being, which means that a man is important for someone. He is not a cog in the machine, in this world. So the God Himself comes to save the man. So today, this is the Christmas day. Our soul is joyous, and thanks for coming to share this joy with us, with me, and with all our people. So Merry Christmas to all of you.